Let's unite our hearts in prayer. Dear Lord, our holy God, the glorious, wonderful creator of all, we turn to you in this morning to come in faith, in trust, in confidence on thy goodness, thy great wisdom and understanding, and the presence of your blessed and Holy Spirit. For it is his help, his direction, his guidance that we need for each step of the way of our life. And now, this morning, we now also depend upon him to direct our thoughts, to teach us thy word, and grant unto us, Lord, that we might grow thereby, that we might be changed thereby, and Lord, that you would receive all honor, glory, and praise for all things. For in our Christ, our holy Savior, our loving Redeemer's name we pray. Amen. Let us turn to God's holy word as contained in the book of Revelations. John's revelation, I'd like to begin at the very beginning of chapter 2, Christ's message to the Ephesians.
A nađene da se pročita sa Božjom pomoću iz knjige Otkrivenja iz druge glave, prvi oko 6-7 brojeva.
Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, and except thou repent. For this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. I have read the first seven verses. The Lord spoke, the Lord our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, spoke these words. We know that by reading the previous chapter. He said, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Write these things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. It's very easy for for us to think that this message was for that time. After all, we have read of the church in Ephesus. We have read the apostles' admonition to that church. But if you take all seven of these churches that are written to, they're not there anymore. Were they the only church there? No. So why is it that Christ, our God, our Savior, our Redeemer, through the Spirit would speak this to John and says to him, write this down. This is for the churches in 2019. This is a living word, brothers and sisters. And therefore, every time and every day that we read it, it is for us. It's not for those that lived that time. Although they read it, I'm not even certain at this point that the Church of Ephesus read this, because it's not addressed, although the Lord says, write to the Church of Ephesus. But this letter, this book of Revelations didn't go to Ephesus. It was for the church as a whole. And we're part of that church. Not by claiming that we are, but because we have chosen, by God's grace, to commit our lives to Him. And who is the church? The church is each and every one of us. We make up the church, not the building, not the name. We are the church. So therefore, the message that Christ spoke was to each of us individually. And if that message is for each and every one of us, then we have to examine what it says, just like examining ourselves in a mirror. Why would you stand before a mirror? Well, I know some people to see how good they look. But generally, we stand before a mirror to see what needs to be corrected. And while we stand before that mirror, make the correction. See, we can't make those corrections by memory, even if we tried. That's why the Word of God says, while we are standing before the mirror of God, this Word of God, that we make the changes, examine ourselves, and to commit those changes for Him to do in us. And I said it that way because it's not within the power of any one of us, brothers and sisters and friends, to change us. We can commit to the change. We can ask help. But the best thing is to say, Lord, You're the one that said this. You change us to what we ought to be. And that's the only way that we can be clothed upon with the righteousness of Christ. It's not something ours. Even if you take on the weapons of our faith, the weapons of warfare in the Spirit, those are not ours. Those are something that we can take from God and ask Him to clothe us in those. So, it's addressed as Ephesians, but I think it generally, I think we all understand that these were seven characteristics of people. Your and my characteristics. And we should examine ourselves if our life falls within this. And if you read the message to Ephesus and you want to characterize it, you would see that Christ said, there are people that love me with their head, love me with their mental attitude. They have the proper attitude. It says, I know works in thy labor, in thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. Thou hast tried them which they say they're apostles and are not, hast found them liars. And even at the end, he says, but this thou hast, that thou hatest the deed of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. We can, with our head, with our mind, with our intellect, have all the concepts that are correct. Well, what happens sometimes is we don't know where our heart is. You see, when the Lord said, as he was asked by a person, what are the greatest law, two laws, or the greatest law, what's the greatest commandment? Lord Jesus Christ answered him and he said, first and foremost, love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your might. And the second, of course, is to love your neighbor as yourself. At another time, he was asked by the rich young ruler what he should do in order to inherit the kingdom of God. And God told him all the things that are written in the law, which came after that first law. Because the first law said to love the Lord your God. And we can see the beginnings of that in Exodus 20, where the law is given to Moses. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which had brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, and that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, and on, because he says, these, if you make them, that you worship them, they become your idols. I grew up under the same basic influence. Mom, my mother that I grew up under, she taught me those things. as far as the laws were concerned. And she practiced them. But it was her life that taught me, not those words, it was her life that taught me that God had to be number one in my life. Did I listen? Of course not. I was a young fella. I had all kinds of things I wanted to be. I had all kinds of plans that I wanted to fulfill. I was in church. I was a good boy, see. Sang. There was ever any opportunity to be in church, I was there. See, intellectually, in my mind, I wanted to be identified with being God's child. But my heart wasn't there. In my heart, there were many, many idols. And until God got rid of them, I couldn't master them. They were my masters. Finally, God was gracious, was merciful, and I found him to be sufficient. But probably, a lot like, just like any one of you, or most of you, or most of us, there were still things that I thought I needed. Even though I eschewed evil in my mind, my emotions and my heart were longing for that. Oh, I wasn't that evil, but I was evil enough. And you see, this is what happens to us even after we're converted. We get to points that there are things that we just lack a little bit of. Are they bad? Are they badly sinful? No. But we want to be liked. We want to have people accept us. We like to be popular. We like to have nice homes. We want people to look up to us, whether it is for physical things or even within the church. And what happens? We might not think so, but these are all little idols that we set up alongside our God. And they all take away from our service to Him. It doesn't matter what we say to God, and this is the situation that the Ephesians thought of, according to God's revelation. Oh, we don't like those evil things. We don't want to do those evil things. In fact, we can recognize what is evil. In fact, as I said, you try them which say they're apostles and are not, and has found them liars. That can be very, very prominent in us, brothers and sisters. We don't want to be part of the world. But Lord, there are things I like. You see, God looks at our heart. God doesn't just look at our intellect. He looks at our heart, and he sees there, brothers and sisters, in our heart, things that we have set up. Little idols here, little idols there. And God says, no, no. Go back. It says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. He is a jealous God. That's what he says here. I am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. There were times that I was in situations like Jonah. In the bottom of the sea. Until I woke up and recognized how far those little things took me away from the love that I should only have for one person and one person alone, God alone. It's very easy for us, brothers and sisters, to kind of move I've heard it said this way. Here's the church and here's the world. They're not the same place. They're far apart. But the world continues to change. So, moves, the church moves. The world moves, the church moves. The things that we begin to envelop into us as principles, not necessarily the things we do. We are very good at judging things we do, but we have difficulty judging our heart. So the world keeps on moving and church keeps on moving. And if you examine yourself 20, 30 years down the road, where the world was, that's where the church is. And brothers and sisters, I'm not talking about the church as a whole. I'm talking each of us individually. We are the church. The things that we find important, the things that we find attractive in our lives, if you look back to the world around us, that was what was important to them. But they moved. They always have to have new things important to them. Because this enemy of our soul, he's there to guide them, to direct them, and to show them how they think they can get satisfaction. And the satisfaction, the one that has to go to the soul. The satisfaction of contentment, the satisfaction of peace, the satisfaction of joy, doesn't come from those things. So he has to keep the target moving so that people keep on trying to achieve it. When was the last time we actually sat down where nobody saw us? When we were on our own, just God and us. And we could say, search me, O God. Know my heart. Cleanse me, O God. Know my life. Teach me, O God, of your way everlasting. And pour ourselves out to him in tears and shame and sorrow because of what we, how far we have come from where we began. There are times I had to do that. And brothers, sometimes God had to take me on those days. He had to take me out of the woodshed. And teach me. Wasn't pleasant. But it was for my good. You see, that's what he promises. He promises, according to Romans 8:28, that all things work for the good for each of our lives. But what is that good? It comes not in verse 28. It comes in verse 29. He did predestinate us to be conformed to the image of his Son. That's what he wants us to be. To the likeness, to the joy of the image of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he tries to do in our lives. That process is not pleasant, never will be, because we like to have things in our own heart. We like to have things that we like. And not one of us are in a situation where we don't like to be well thought of. We don't like to be liked. We don't like to be popular. We don't like to be leaders. We don't like to be a lot of things. But when those things become primer, those things become our identity, brothers and sisters, we will begin to worship them. And once we're in that place, I can guarantee you by the word of God that he's going to interfere in our lives. Because that's not how he wants us to be. He wants us to be in the likeness of the image of his Son. When we want to do our own, we look at the mirror and then we say, well, I just want to do this anyhow. We ought to be very careful because we are dealing with Almighty God. He's a jealous God, not because he wants to keep us a certain way. No. He gave his life for us. He loved us so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. He gave himself for us. And he feels that this should never, never be a waste. So, as we contemplate each and every day, This is what he said. I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Let's look back on those days. The days that we finally found that all the things we ever wanted to be, we couldn't do. Only He could do for us. We couldn't leave any sin, but He could change us. We could not consider all these things without His strength. In fact, the Word says, and the Lord Jesus said, He says, you can do nothing without me. So it's not about us. It's about God. It's not about what we want. It's what God expects us. And why would we love Him so? And that's the next question. Well, we should have a fear of God in us. There's a difference between the fear of God, and many do. I myself, I remember that's what started my life towards living a life pleasing to Him. Because I knew I wasn't pleasing Him. And I was afraid of the consequences, which would have been eternal damnation. So that's what started my heart to change. But if that's the only thing that causes us to change, it will never keep us in Him. The only thing that can keep us in Christ is if we love Him first. Foremost and only. Not just on the good days. Not just on days that are convenient to us. Not just on days that we have nothing else to do. But in the storm. He's not someone that we could say, I'm in trouble, help me. Not that He can't, but what He sees is why are we in trouble? And once we are troubled, what our heart is going to be afterwards. What can He do? I remember a dear brother in Mansfield congregation. Probably most of you have that have had visits to the Mansfield congregation prior, saw him in a wheelchair. And why? Because he challenged God and said, God, unless I receive polio, I will not turn to you. And he did. He received polio, turned to him, didn't he? You say, God can do anything. But it's so much easier when we can say, Lord, change me, teach me, guide me. This is something, if I have mentioned this before, brothers and sisters, please forgive me. But it's something that has always been in front and center in my life. Back in 1998, we received a picture card from a dear sister in Germany and showed on the front of the picture card a large man's hand. And in it was a small hand of a young child. And there was things written on the front of that card. And it said in German, so I had to get it translated. And it said, "Lord, give me light that I might see the way you want me to walk. Give me lights for light and so that I might see." And the Lord said, "My child, give me your hand. I can lead you in the darkness. I can lead you where you don't see the way. It is better for you than light." That's what God is saying. It's not that he can save us in the calamity, not that he can save us in the storms of life, but he can save us through the storm of life. Look at Jonah. What happened to him? It wasn't until he was dumped into the depths of the sea and was swallowed by a great fish that he recognized where he was. And God said to the fish, "Now he's ready for me. Spew him out to land so I can use him where he can be what I want him to be." That's what we got to be. That's where we have to go sometimes, to the very bottom of the ocean. Because sometimes that's the only time we listen. Now, that doesn't have to be necessarily that we lose everything. It doesn't have to be that we're all by ourselves. No. But that's the easiest time, the earlier we can. That's why we say to those that are without Christ, the earlier you can yield your life to God, the easier it is to find conversion. It's an easiest time that he can change us. I remember at Eastern Camp many years ago, there was a survey, an informal survey that was conducted. And those that were converted were asked, how many were converted before the age of 18? A large group stood up. How many were converted between 18 and 20? Less than half. How many were converted from 20 to 25. And there were probably not much more than 20 or 30. How many were converted after the age of 25? And there were just a few. Just a handful. Why? Because we get set in our ways, and we start building our idols. We set them up in our heart, and the more we have, the less room we have for God. So those that are without Christ, we urge you time and time again, commit your way to God. Allow him to make the changes in you before you set in your own ways. And those of us that are in Christ, let's reflect upon those days and remember when we say, and all of us said on our day that we have committed our life to God, we said, Lord, we want to serve you with all our soul, with all our strength, with all our mind. But remember, don't go back after and say, but Lord, there's all these little things I still want. God says, no. That's not where you go. That's not where I go. Because he has to be our only God, both now and forever. Amen. Reflecting on this word, I guess the first thing that comes to my mind, this was a letter to Ephesians that the Lord left behind. But I wonder, what could he write if he was to look at my heart, at my life? I have to ask him. Talk to me. Speak to me. Change me. Help me to live according to his word. Because sometimes we don't hear it so well. Sometimes he speaks through others. And there's nothing probably as eye-opening for us to listen to as our children. Ever ask your children what they thought of you? Or their friends, what they thought of you as the child of God, as a Christian? What would they look at? What would they evaluate? Would be the principle that you proclaim and I proclaim? Or the kind of life that is should be evident of living for God Almighty, evident of being in control of God Almighty, and evident to have his power in us. It's a sobering thought, and I think that we all should ask ourselves that, because that's how God can touch our lives and change them. To God be the honor, glory, and praise forevermore. Amen. Amen.